And I am from Quail Springs Baptist in Oklahoma City. Been there over 10 years. Been doing ministry for a long time. And just let me say how honored I am to be here. I really mean that, and how humbled I am. I don't know if you read my little bio, but it says that I am the Forrest Gump of ministers. And it means if God can use me, he can use anybody. And I mean that. Paul talks about how humbled he was when he was used by God. And so I stand before you to let you know that if God can use Randy Davis from Yukon, Oklahoma, called when he was 16 years old to ministry, God can use you. And no matter what your past is, he's got a bright future for us. And so I'm honored to be here. I really am. And I think this is my fourth or fifth time. Ben Pritchett and I couldn't remember how many times he's had me up here, or Don Mutton. But I'm honored to be here. Let me pray for us, and then we'll jump into this. And I really, my goal for this session is for it to be interactive as much as possible, because I want to hear from you if we can. And it's almost like, guys and gals, you remember there's an itch back here on your back, and you don't have anything to get to it, all right, except maybe use a door frame or a door post or something. But my point is, I want to scratch where you're itching. Meaning, if you're here because you're intrigued by the topic, I know it's not me, you're here because you're intrigued by the topic or something that you've read. So I want to make sure that I scratch where you itch. Meaning, if there's something in your LBS group or something that you're not seeing happening, we're going to rely on the Lord to help us find the answers through his word and through experiences, okay? All right, join me in prayer. Father, we're grateful for tonight, for the opportunity to be among friends. We thank you, Father, for your word that says where two or three gather together, you're in our midst. We welcome you, Lord Jesus. We welcome the Holy Spirit. We pray that you'll use me as an open vessel, as a conduit to share exciting things about you and your word and how we can build relationships with you and with others. Lord, I pray your blessings upon each participant here. God, just show great favor to them. And I pray, Father, you'll show us great energy as we finish strong tonight. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Everyone got a handout? A little looky-look there. All right. I'm low-tech, high-touch. Okay? Low-tech, high-touch. I do have a smartphone, but I'm more touch. And so I'm low-tech. You're not going to see anything on that little cute screen. We're going to talk about the meat and potatoes here, if we can, okay? All right, let's talk about building a bridge. What does that look like? When you think about building a bridge, that's the title, right? Building a bridge, I'm in the right session, right? Yep. Building a bridge. Building a bridge, what does that look like? He just talked about building the Golden Gate, right? The sacrifices that went into that, the hard work, the effort. And you know, if you've been doing this type of work in ministry, it's hard work, isn't it? When I started at 16, I did not have one gray hair in my head. All right, there's proof. Okay, and I'm a young 55-year-old. Ben Pritchett says the 55 is the new 45, and I agree with that. Building a bridge takes a lot of work, takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of steel, a lot of concrete. Thank God they had a net underneath that bridge, right? Save some lives. And you're that type of net that he talked about a while ago. You're that type of net. So what images come to mind when you see about bridges being built? I mean, you can't go anywhere around Houston. What I've noticed is there's bridges everywhere. So what kind of image comes to mind when you think about building a bridge?
Connections, connecting points.
Yes, point A to point B. Get over what you need to get over. Say it again.
Up and over.
Up and over, yes. What else?
It takes a plan to build it.
Yes. Strategy.
Vision.
Vision. Ooh, that's good. It's good.
You have scaffolding or support.
Yes. I like it.
I always
hope that the engineers that designed a bridge were really smart.
Especially when you're on it.
When I'm going over it.
Yes.
So I'm thinking a lot of engineering and working hard, doing a good job.
Did you hear that, Taylor? I discovered Taylor's an engineer. And my youngest son, who is goes to school at the great school of OU, of energy. gosh, he's so smart. And you're right. We need smart people building those bridges. Well, guess what? Everything that you listed is who you are. You're a component of all that. Some of you have vision. Some of you have creativity. Some of you have connectors. You love to touch people. You love to involve people. You are all of that. Whatever team you're a part of, I want to encourage you and inspire you to use the gift that God's given you to build that bridge, build those connectors of taking people where they are and moving them one step closer to God. Okay? That's that bridge building aspect. So when you go out of here with this little note pad here, this note sheet, think about how you are designed and created by God and gifted by God, your personality, and all that takes place, and what you can do for the kingdom of God here at this church, this body of Christ, to connect people through social events. See how that works? It takes a team. Took a team of engineers, and those engineers had the plans and the foresight and the vision, and then it, whether it trickled down, trickled up, trickled sideways, and then it took people who had the wherefore to put it all together. You know, we're in the process at our church building a new worship center. We'll be in it in 1st of June. It amazes me. It just came right out of the dirt, you know, and we're less than 5 months away from walking into that place. So, but we're building something far more significant. We're building people's lives. We're being the safety net of really helping people take one more step closer to Jesus Christ, wherever they are in their journey. So I want to help us talk about building one step at a time through social events. Now, define for me what you think, what you hear social events is about. Define that for me. And I'm not looking for anything big and theological, because remember, I'm Forrest Gump, okay? What do you call social events?
Gatherings.
Yes.
Fun.
Fun?
Fun.
Awesome. Come on.
Edifying. Time to get to know each other.
Edifying. Trying to get to, who said that? Trying to get to know one another. Relationship building. What else?
Spontaneous and planned.
Okay. Which is more fun?
For me, spontaneous.
Okay.
But maybe not for everyone.
Right. How many would rather have a planned social event, knowing what's going to happen, when it's supposed to happen? All right. Okay. Both can work, right? But most of the time, the spontaneous, the people who are, we'll call them the beavers of personality, do not like the otters. The spontaneous ones, right? Okay? But you got to have them. They're the life of the party. All right. If you have some form of a Bible here, whether it's in pages or, there you go, grab those smart devices. You have verses there, Acts 2:42. Someone, I need three people or more to look up these verses. Acts, and then 1 Corinthians, and then 1 John 1:7. And then we'll start filling in some blanks and dialoguing this. Who has Acts 2:42? Okay, go.
And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers.
Okay. Early church was being birthed in Acts 2. And they devoted themselves to what? The apostles' teaching and to fellowship, social events, parties. All right? Can we get a whoop whoop? Okay? All right. Hey, we read God's word with an open mind, that it's not all stiff and staunch and They had fun. We're going to look at some more of that stuff, okay? Fellowships. That's a good Baptist word, isn't it? Come to our fellowship. Ooh. Okay, that'll draw a crowd, won't it? It did in Jesus' day, and we'll see some of that. How about 1 Corinthians 1:9? What does God's word say there?
God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Mm-hmm.
God is faithful. Amen? Amen. He's faithful when we need him most. He's faithful when we need him least. He's still faithful. Who called us into fellowship. Another great Baptist word. There it is, fellowship. Okay, it's okay. We might modernize it tonight into being a party or whatever you want to call it.
Or a social event.
Okay. God was about fellowship. All right, what's 1 John 1:7? Who has that? Go ahead.
But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from sin.
Wow. Amen on that, right? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But we have fellowship. All right? So, speaking of fellowship, that wonderful biblical word that we love as Baptists, that can look like a whole lot of stuff, right? And so, point number one, this bridge we're building is between our life Bible study, LBS, and social events or fellowships. That's what we're going to talk about, okay? This bridge we're building is between our LBS and social events and fellowships, where we're trying to connect the two. Really what we, well, a little bit of what we do on Sunday mornings, our LBS, is about social or fellowships, because we come together, we have things in common. And really that word fellowship in the original Greek language is a word called koinonia. I don't know too many Greek words, okay, because remember I'm Forrest Gump. But koinonia I do know. And it means literally things we have in common. See, when I walked in there, I knew the only commonality that we had is we are related through the Son, Jesus Christ. And we're brothers and sisters because we all have the same daddy, right? God. But then we break down in things in common, and I see my brother and sister here that went to OU. All right, I got two kids that are there right now. And so we have things in common, things that we share. Probably if we talk long enough, we had time. I'm going to know people that you know, and you're going to know people that I know. Okay, so we have things in common. It's what brings us together. Now, that doesn't mean there's all kinds of people, right, that come into Bible study that might not be like us. They might not smell like us. They might not act like us. But if they have the Son in them, the Holy Spirit, they're of us. But the goal is what? Is to get more people outside of the church, understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and be saved. That's the goal, right? So things that we have in common. Number two, our LBS, or our Sunday morning experience, is this, doing life with God, and then doing life with one another. All right? Now, this is how simple Forrest Gump can be. Doing life with God, right? And then doing life with one another. Okay? And gee, you know what that looks like? It's like the cross, doesn't it? And that's what life's about. It's about helping people come to know God vertically, and then doing life together horizontally with one another. It's literally linking arms with one another and doing life with each other, with God as our point, as our true north. All right? Now, number three, power of the party. All right? Whoop, whoop. Power of the party. Yes, you can put an exclamation point there. All it takes is a little line. Okay. Now, I want you to give some thought, just a little, not going to take long. Number four, I want you to give a little thought, and I want you to describe a good fellowship, a good party, or a good social event. Fill in that line. I want you to write it out. Describe a good fellowship, party, or social event. What would you say is a good party, fellowship, social event? What do you think?
Good food.
You've had a few riding it around here, don't
food.
You?
Food.
God bless you. Do what?
Ethnic food.
Not just food, ethnic food. Okay. I like that too. You can tell I like food. Okay? I'm a healthy, balanced eater.
All right.
Do what?
That it's welcoming.
Yes, it's welcoming.
Yeah.
All right. Love it.
Laughter.
All right. I can tell you like to laugh. You just always looks like you're always on the verge just to let one rip. See? There she goes. Look at her. Hey, cute. Let her out of the bag. There she goes. Yes. Who wants to go to a party at a funeral home? Anybody? You go there for respect for family and friends, right? And the one that's dead. We have one right across the street from our church. Okay? And the opposite, really, of what we do as believers is what the world thinks is a good party and a good social event and all that kind of stuff. But many times they don't remember it. Isn't that sad? So laughter, fun, welcoming.
Connecting with others.
Yes.
And getting to know new people.
Yes. Let me chase that real quick. What we do on Sunday mornings at LBS is critical because it helps us and others connect this way to God. But really what this little talk is about is doing what you just said, is doing life horizontally with others. And you could, you know, you can have Bible studies at fellowships. I'm not opposed to that. I think it's important. You have some element of Christ and teaching and learning and understanding. But connecting with people at these events. Now, somewhere in my notes, maybe I'll get to it. And if I say it again, just consider it not Alzheimer's or not dementia. Just call it deja vu. Okay, that's what I'm going to have when I get old. Okay. There's two classes at our church that give great example of how important fellowships and social events are. One began about 6 months ago, and for various reasons, did no fellowships. None. And you know what this class is like now? It's dead. It's non-existent. Okay? But there's a good side of that. Let me get back to that. Someone remind me to get back to that. There's another class that started, same time, had great Sunday morning Bible study, great learning of God's Word, and they've done like three fellowships, three parties, three social events. And they've all been different, which is unique. You need to do that because people like different things. That class is exploding. Okay? I think my humble and accurate opinion is that when you get people outside of Sunday school or life Bible study, okay, then you get on the realness of who they are, right? You heard the teacher in preschool say, okay, I want to describe this animal. It's four-legged, it's hairy, it has a long tail, and it likes to eat nuts. What's the answer? And the little preschooler says, well, ma'am, that sounds like a squirrel, but I know the right answer is Jesus. Okay? Because, dearly beloved, when we gather in this room, we have to be holy of holy. We have to act like what we're not. We have to be a fake when we come in here, right? Because we're supposed to have it all together. But when you get people in homes or an apartment or some other social event place, people kind of feel, hey, I can be myself. Would you rather have someone that's real that you're trying to get to know, or someone that's a fake and a fraud that when they come in, they're not real? That's the power of a party when you get to know one another. then it becomes more intimate, becomes more real. I would hope that that could translate into what we do on Sunday mornings with our teaching. But am I wrong in thinking, because I've been doing this a long time, am I wrong in thinking that when people come through that door, if this was our class on Sunday morning, that people who come through that door, whether they're a first-time guest or a long-time member or anybody in between, do people act different when they come to this place and this church and this room for Bible study?
Yep.
They do, don't they? Why is that?
It's the environment.
Okay.
Expectation.
Environment, expectation.
They won't be accepted if the real self comes out.
Mm.
That's what they're afraid of.
That's what they're afraid of.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're onto something.
That's what social is supposed to be. It helps them come out of who they are, and they're accepted.
Yes. That's why we do parties.
Yeah.
That's why we do fellowships. Yeah. And we get to know one another. And let me say, for something of good health, and I think the little description talked about this, good health. And listen, I've been married for 26 years. I've been a singles pastor for many years. For it to be good and healthy, ladies, you connect with ladies. Guys, you connect with guys. Do it as a group if you're single. And I'm not opposed, you don't talk to the opposite. You do. You get to know one another. But you do it in a healthy way. You do it in a way that's people get to know you, okay? And so, guys, if you got issues, you talk to guys. Gals, if you got issues, you talk to gals. And then work through those. Why? We're all in the same boat, are we not? We're all sinners, saved, saints, trying to become more like Jesus as we journey this world, right? Are we going to mess up?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Aren't we? I have at least once today. And if I was with a group of guys at a party, just talking and sharing life, and I had a guy that loved me dearly who would come and get in my grill and in my space to say, hey, how was your life this week? And guys can do that. Girls, you can do that. All right, so we become good intimate friends over several weeks and months. He's given me permission, and I've given him permission to say, okay, how's your thought life this week? I could have said, well, why didn't you start somewhere else? Bingo, right? He nailed me. And I could share that with him. You don't want to do that with a girl. You know, she doesn't need to ask me about my thought life. You see how healthy that is and how unhealthy that is? The power of the party is breaking down the barriers. Because most Baptist churches or churches in general, if a person comes through there that had foul language, how would we respond to that in here?
Be offended.
Yeah. Most of us would probably be offended. But if that person was invited by someone else who knew that person as a coworker, who knew their language, their filthy mouth, they knew that person, and that person comes in and they go, hey, Jack, man, we're glad you're here. You know, and then Jack rips off a couple cuss words. We're all going, the life just got sucked out of this place, right? Why are we surprised that a lost person talks like a lost person? So the other point of this is, it's okay when lost people come in because they need to have what we have. But we don't need to go, hold up the cross. And avoid them, okay? So there's a balance there. Do you see it? There's a balance there that we need to be welcoming because that person needs the love of Jesus. We need to have a presence in their life that they understand who we are and what we stand for, right? My oldest son is a professional golfer, and I'm so proud of him. And we're grateful for a guy that's come alongside of us that is his financial sponsor. Because I'm on a preacher's salary, okay? I'm taking care of him, God's taking care of me. But to help Ian get to where he is, we needed money, and we've been praying. Takes a lot of money. But this guy is lost as a goose. And so we sit down in a business planning meeting, and it's kind of like Shark Tank. He says, "All right, Ian, I want to hear your business plan." All right? So he gives us business plan. He said, "Okay. How much money do you need?" "Well, I need this amount of money." "All right. When am I going to get it back?" He goes, "Soon, I hope, sir." And he goes, "Wrong answer. Try again." And then he goes, call him a little S-H-I-T. He called him an M-F. He called him all kinds of words. And he caught himself and realizing he looks right down to me and he goes, "Sorry, preacher." And then he goes, "All right, you little shh." And just rips him. Okay? Am I offended? A little bit. But the guy's lost. He needs Jesus. He needs Jesus. So guess what? I've been praying for Clay. Praying for Clay. You join me in praying for Clay. Clay needs Jesus. Because if Clay died tonight, he's going to split hell wide open. And so God's using Ian to touch him. Because they play golf occasionally. They have lunch together occasionally. But that's how we're supposed to win the world. We're not supposed to invite them over to our cutesy little pootsy party. You know, we're supposed to be Jesus to them, right? We're supposed to be Jesus to them. Sorry, I got off to preaching. All right, number five. So we can talk about the purpose of a good fellowship. What's the purpose? I listed three things. Build community. Build unity. Build relationships, which can be among friends and family. Those are some things. What else could be a purpose of a good fellowship or a good party that you could write down and think of for us? Or the reason of why we do these?
Well, I like what you said about it's about lost people. It can be a more comfortable place for someone to bring a friend or a spouse or someone to that's not, come go to my Sunday school class with me. No. Come go to a party with me.
Yes.
Yes.
Build the kingdom.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an entry point,
yeah.
Right?
And they get comfortable. We had this happen a few years ago where we had a woman that was in our class and her husband did not attend church with her. He was not saved. And we got him to come over. We just had people over for dinner one night and he would agree to come to that. And it wasn't much longer before he showed up in Sunday school one day and now he's probably teaching Sunday school at this point.
Yes.
He got saved. And,
yes.
But he was willing to come to our house,
yes,
when he wasn't willing to come to our church.
Mm-hmm. People know, for the most part, because they have all kinds of thoughts and ideas that I'm not good enough to go to that church.
That was what it was.
You know, I've done things in my life. Well, who hasn't in here? Anybody totally clean in here? Do we have a whiteboard Christian around here? You know? We've been there, right? But some think their level of sin is much greater. I just believe sin is sin. And we as humans, we think, oh, you know, you little white lie. It's not too bad, but you did this, this, and this. So, it's good. Entry points. What else? Can you think of anything else real quick?
I think it can be a faith builder, because if you're sitting commuting with somebody and getting to know somebody, and God's just done built your faith up in a situation, it can be a faith builder for,
yes,
people.
Yes.
Oh, man, I didn't know God had done that for you. And you get to tell them your testimony, not really in a testimony type way, but just tell them your story and how God was faithful.
Yes. That's happening right now for me, because if you are not here, it's Taylor and I talking together. Okay? Which is not a bad thing, because I got to talk to him. So you've encouraged me. There's another gentleman here from my church named Mark Jones. He's a children's pastor at our church. So he's somewhere in the building doing his thing. He got up, we flew down here together. He got up to the restroom, and I looked across the aisle, and there was this young man. I knew it was a young man because he had one of those little bitty small Gideon Bibles. that he probably stole out of a motel somewhere. I don't know. Maybe someone gave it to him, okay? But he was reading it. And before Mark came back, I said, hey, I said, what is that you're reading? He goes, it's a Bible. It's a Gideon Bible. I said, man, that's awesome. I said, you've encouraged me today because I see you reading God's word. It is encouraging. It's a faith builder. It's a community builder. That we, listen, we're not by ourselves. We're journeying through life together. And it's like the speaker said, going to a funeral and people who have no hope, listen, they have no hope. I hope that when something happens in my life, my family, my community, my people, brothers and sisters are going to lock arms with me and pray for me. Okay? We need that. All right. Number six. Here's some examples of how Jesus did social events and fellowships and parties. Okay? I don't have scripture references. I'll quote a famous president. Use the Google, okay? You can find these, all right? Okay, here we go. This is so cool. I think this is so cool. All right. Okay, Jesus did social parties in homes, okay? And as we walk through this, you think of others. Here's my favorite, one of my favorites. You ready? The beach. Who doesn't like to go to the beach? Anybody like to go to the beach with me? My wife would go to the beach. Oh, all the time, because it's warm, right? Jesus did social events at the beach. And while he was at the beach, remember, he had a fish fry. Remember? Power of the party. Okay? All right, how about this one? He went to the mountains. That's the second best place I like to go, is the mountains. The mountains. All right, you're going to like this one. I like this one. He did boat rides. Remember? He did boat rides.
Exciting boat rides.
Exciting boat rides, yeah. You remember the one, the way they're just going crazy? Oh, Jesus. Who's asleep? Did boat rides. Fishing, right? Fishing. Any fishermen in here? Fisherwoman? Okay. Love to fish. Power of the party, man. Some other things he did, he caused riots. Okay. That's a party, right? But if you read scripture, he could be there and then poof, he was gone. Okay. Remember that? How did he do that? He's God. He could do that. What do you have? What do you think of?
Weddings.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yes. Yes. What else?
Cemetery.
Party to the cemetery. All right. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. Jesus was the life of the party. Even at where it was so sad for him because his friend died, Lazarus. Okay?
Mary and Martha's house.
Yes. Yeah. So think about as you read scripture, when you come to that point and you have that aha moment, and you go, oh, I remember Randy talking about the power of the party. Go Jesus, you know, and wherever he is, okay? And you're going to be reading boat rides and all kinds of stuff. That's the power of the party. Here's the most important thing. Is this one another and this vertical? Jesus did life with people. You'll see in scripture occasionally where he slips away by himself, right? Goes off to what?
Pray.
Does the vertical thing. Kind of, you know, goes to Sunday school with God, with his Father. Okay, gets reconnected, not reconnected, but get re-energized. Okay, spend time with the Father. So that's a challenge for us. We need to be doing that as well. But Jesus did life with people. All right. You with me? We good?
Yes, sir.
All right. Seven. What could be some obstacles in building fellowships or building relationships or having having parties? What are some obstacles? Let me give you three that I thought of. An obstacle could be time. And the reason one of these classes never did a fellowship because they couldn't find the right time. Well, guess what? There's never going to be a right time. So if you always use that as an excuse, guess who wins? The enemy. Who said that? The enemy. Yeah, the enemy. So if we said, hey, next Friday, we're doing a party at such and such house, and guess what? Someone's already got things planned. That's okay. Catch the next one. So don't use that as an obstacle. Well, we couldn't all get together, okay? Those who can, we'll party with you, okay? And we'll think about you if you're not here, but the next one will be this one, okay? And then here's an obstacle. Don't do the same stuff. God gave some of us creativity, right? Please use your creative skills and say, you know, especially the guys. You know, guys just want to come over, eat food, and watch football or basketball or whatever ESPN has on. Okay? And you ladies are going, oh, dear Jesus. Okay? And I'm supposed to, you know, find a mate here, and all he does, well, guess what? That's what happens when you get married, okay? Okay? Sometimes my wife loves it when I'm gone, okay? Because she has the TV all to herself. Okay? Like tonight. No telling what she's watching. What'd you say?
Young lady? I said Food Network.
Fixer Upper. Okay? All right. So use your people in your life Bible study groups who are the otters of the personality. Do you understand what I'm talking about, personality types? And I love when Gary Smalley put it in animal forms. This guy got it. This Forrest Gump got it. You know, the sanguine, the phlegmatic, the... sound like diseases. Who wants to be So he put in four animals. You got your lion, your beaver, your otter, your golden retriever. I get that. That makes sense to me. Your lion's your leader. Your beaver's your organizer. Your worker. Your otter's your fun-loving... Don't put them in charge of bringing hamburgers to the hamburger party because they'll show up with no hamburgers. Okay? All they heard was a party. I'm there. Okay? And then you got the golden retriever. See how all that works in doing creative social events? Don't get in a rut of doing the same thing because guys have a tendency, because I'm one, of just doing the same thing. Okay? And sometimes those who are blessed to be single sometimes get in that rut of doing the same old thing. I know a guy, a longtime friend of ours named Larry Selby. He's a tall drink of water. He goes and eats pretty much the same places every day, you know. Listen, you know what a rut is, right? A rut is a grave with both ends kicked out. That's all a rut is. All right? That's a rut. So don't do that. All right. Here's a little rebar, which is reinforcement bar. A little some extras. Three quick things. Talk about this. Life attracts life. Okay? If your life Bible study group has life in it, it will attract life. If it has the ounce of stench of death, it's not going to attract life much longer. Life attracts life. Does that make sense? Okay? So then you have to ask the question, okay, how do we get life? How do we get energy? How do we get excitement? We'll put the otters in charge of coming up with creative things to do. And everyone goes, yeah, that's a great event. Or bring them over and play games. Okay, there's all kinds of fun games out there, right? Board games, catchphrase, see all that stuff? And you'll find the true competitive people. You stay away from those folks, okay? Give me that! But you find out people, okay? Life attracts life. Doing life together with purpose. And here's the most important one, I think, or some of them. Take people where they are and move them one step closer to God. That could be a great goal for this year, 2016, for your LBS group, to take people wherever they are and move them one step closer to God. Because we're all on a different level, or we're all on a different plane, we're all on a different number scale, right? There's people in your Life Bible Study group, maybe right now, are on the fringe. Bless you.
Bless you.
That are on the fringe. They're teeter-tottering whether they don't know if this is real. They don't know if they want to get involved. All right? But they're there because they've been invited, and they have trust in this person. And you need to pray for them and help them move one step closer to God. Okay? So you could do it quarterly. You could do it monthly, whatever. Move them one step closer to God. Move them one step closer to God through fellowships. Okay? All right. What did I not scratch that needs to be?
The third blank on number 7.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Same stuff.
Do the same stuff.
We had time and lack of creativity.
Say that again?
We have time and lack of creativity.
Not everyone can come.
Yeah. People.
Being all together. Uh-huh.
Space is a problem for us because we have a really big class.
Yes.
And so we have to have a big house.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. It's good. Anybody else?
Randy.
Yes, ma'am.
This is a long time before most of y'all were even born. When Brother John first came to our church, there was no singles department, and my dad and mom were the directors of the singles department. And one of the things, and they called it business and professional back then. But anyway, my dad knew that having social events and doing retreats and having social events and they did all kinds of things, and it grew.
Yes.
that singles department, and y'all are standing on that foundation. I've gathered a lot of y'all are singles, but you're standing on that foundation of what happened, you know, really 40 years ago, and he knew that that was the thing that was going to bring people in. Of course we had Bible study, of course we had, you know, they had prayer and stuff like that, but it really is important, and it's going to draw especially the singles in. They need a place to go when they have so many other options that the world has to offer.
Yes.
They need other options.
Amen.
And things to do with Christian friends.
Yes.
And so I just really encourage y'all to keep going.
It's awesome. Not only to single adults in here, but to married adults as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys can get in a rut as well. Okay, you know that. And you know, it's important that you keep your marriage healthy and strong, but that also includes linking up with other couples, linking up with other people. My middle son Cameron is, I can't believe I'm old enough to say this, I have a daughter-in-law, okay, her name is Allie, she's awesome, her birthday's today, and so we celebrated last Friday, but you know, they're kind of branched out on their own. They found their own church. They found their own life group, community group. They're doing stuff with couples. It's really cool. Okay? All right, I feel like I need to say this. And then I want to read scripture over you before we leave. I really feel like I need to say this, and I've been battling this with Satan. I say this as a pastor. That I really believe in our social groups, in our fellowships, in the parties that we do. They need to be unique to who we are. They need to be different from what the world experiences. Okay? Now, I don't want to sound like Debbie Downer here, but I want to sound like encouraging Randy. I want to be a Barnabas to you, Rickler. I want to be a Barnabas to you and speak truth from what I believe God's Word says in the totality of Scripture and how we're supposed to be moving people one step closer to God. You ready? You sitting down? Okay, you are. I love you, and I want you to hear this, because this bothers me greatly as a pastor, that the church and its people sometimes seem to be no different than the world in what we do. Now, if I step on your toes, it's God stepping on your toes. It's the Holy Spirit doing work in your heart. So let me get real specific. The last time I drank any alcohol was in my stupidity when I was an eighth grader. When I was 16, God called me to ministry. And he called me to be something different. But when he called you as a child of God, he called us to be unique, to be different, to stand apart. Because he gave us the name of Christian, meaning little Christ. And if any of my sons, and I they're not perfect, but if they were to hurt the good name of a Davis, it would break my heart. Because I tell them often, I gave you a good name, don't ruin it. Listen, God gave you a great name. It's Christian. And God, through his word, convicts us and says, don't ruin my name. Look what my son did for you. He shed his blood. He took all your sin upon his life. Be different. Be unique. And so the specific thing I want to say is, for me and who I am, I don't drink. I don't drink. I don't socially drink. I don't drink in my house. I don't drink alcoholic beverages. I don't drink. Because if I did, if we were to go out of here and go to a pizza place or wherever we are, and I ordered a big old glass of beer, what would you think of me knowing that I just spoke to you? How would that affect your life and what you thought of me as a pastor who spent time to come down here and love on you and encourage you? What would you think of me? The Bible says we've been called out. We've been set apart. We're to be unique. We're not to blend into the world. We're to be different. And not only what we take in, but what we put out. You would think if I just off some cuss words, my credibility would go down. But we have become so integrated in the world and God, and Satan says, oh, it's okay. You can do this. It's all right. People don't understand. And God's going, I sent my son Jesus to die for you, to be unique, to be holy. Don't ruin that. You get that? I lovingly say that to you. Because I got people in my church that drink, and it bothers me. I got couples that are having affairs on one another, and it bothers me. And how are we supposed to call the world to come to repentance when we don't repent ourselves and be different? So, let it be what I said, and know that I love you and that I care for you. But if we're no different than the world, why would they want our Jesus? Why would they want to stick him in the back pocket and say, hey, look, I got my hellfire and brimstone insurance right here. I'm good to go. I'm going to heaven, baby. Let's party. And their partying is a little different from our party. I'm not going to apologize for saying that because I love you.
Amen.
Thank you for saying it.
My pleasure. But I wrestled. And I wrestled with some other talks, the next one really. But we got to be different. What would you think if Pastor Greg, you saw him drinking in a restaurant? What would you think of Pastor Ben? What would you think of your Sunday school teacher? The reason the church is not reaching the world for Christ is because we look too much like the world. We need a good old revival, not of evangelism. We need a good old revival within the church that we fall on our face and say, God, I've sinned. Reconnect. Now, I want to read, and I want you to just listen to this. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. I say this as a benediction, and I pray that you receive my words with love and encouragement. Here's what Paul says to us. Close your eyes. Listen to this. Paul says to the church in Corinth, May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Number 8 blank.
Rebar. R-E-B-A-R. Rebar. It's kind of like what they, those bars that they put in the, you know, for concrete, give stability.
Rebar.
Rebar. The vegetable.
I don't know where. No, I do know where.
Alright, I'm supposed to give a gift card out, and I'm giving to this young man right here. Thank you, Randy. Good love.
Yes, that's your hospitality.